Hello, thanks for joining me for this segment of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and ultimately successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can high-five the person sitting next to you as you tell him or her with incredible joy, "Yes, I'm in." We're going to do something a little different today, or at least I am. I'm going to do all the talking and speak about a couple of admissions-related topics that have been on my mind lately. I've occasionally done entire shows myself. They have proven popular, and I intend to share my thoughts every so often going forward and be my host and my own guest. As usual, I want to remind you that I invite your questions. Indeed, one of the topics today is related to a question, or a comment rather, posted on an blog tip post. However, if you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address on the show, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/70, and you will see a widget that will allow you to leave an audio message in which you can ask your question. You can speak using your computer mic or your phone. You can also send me questions via email to questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. Now, what's on my mind? Two things. First, in June, GMAC announced a new feature for the GMAT, GMAT Score Preview. GMAT Score Preview is described by GMAC as follows. As a test taker, you are given the option of reporting or canceling your score immediately after taking the test and before leaving the test center. Under the new process, in other words, with Score Preview, you will see your unofficial scores, integrated reasoning, quantitative, verbal, and total, and will be given 2 minutes to decide whether to accept them. If you do not make a choice, your scores will be canceled. All right, here are two key points to realize in connection with Score Preview. One, if a score is canceled, you can reinstate it within 60 days for a cost of $100, a fee. If you accept your score, you cannot cancel it at a later date. That's key. I'm going to repeat these two key points. If a score is canceled at the time of the test, you can reinstate it within 60 days at a cost of $100. If you accept your score, you cannot cancel it at a later date or within 60 days for a fee or under any other circumstances. I assume the latter point led to the following comment question on our blog from Ravi. He wrote, "Hi, Linda. There's a doubt I want to ask you about. I recently wrote my GMAT, and because of my bad health, I bombed my score. I was about to apply to HBS 2 plus 2 in round 1. I have a high GRE score, though, and I'm considering applying in round 2 with a GRE score. The only thing is that I sent my GMAT to HBS. Now, how will they look at my application? Will they consider only the GRE score, which I will put in my application, or will they search for the GMAT score sent to them by GMAC? Part of my response was, why didn't you cancel?" And indeed, I was talking with somebody just yesterday who made the big mistake of taking the GMAT score to, quote-unquote, see how she does. And this was before Score Preview, so she didn't have the option to cancel. It came out much lower than she wants, and now she's very, very concerned that this first GMAT score is going to affect her chances of acceptance. Again, Ravi didn't respond to my question or my post at all, but if you don't want to be in Ravi's shoes, take the following advice from GMAC and me. And that advice is, know what score you're willing to accept so that when asked whether you wish to send your scores or cancel them, you already have a considered, thoughtful answer. And this is absolutely critical. And if you're in doubt, if you have this vague feeling that you don't like your score, maybe it's just a little bit below what you wanted, cancel it, because you can always reinstate it. Yes, there's a fee, but it's less than taking the cost of the GMAT. What should you consider before test day in determining what I call the cancel score, the number at and below which you will cancel your score? And it's much better to have considered this ahead of time and really know the numbers that are critical to you, given your background, your goals, etc. So what should you consider? Well, one thing you should consider are your practice scores. If you're consistently scoring in the 650s, and you feel that you've got to get a 700, then there's no point in taking the exam yet. Just prepare more or change your target programs until you get consistently in the 700s for your target score. If you are consistently getting 670s and you get 1690, don't make 690 your cancel score. You want to have a realistic idea of what you can get, and that idea should be reflected in your cancel scores. Do not set your cancel score as the highest practice exam score you ever got, and obviously never set it above. If you know where you want to apply, evaluate your other qualifications and the average GMAT score in 80% range for your target program's most recent incoming class. Estimate what you need to be competitive at your target programs, your choice programs. If you're not sure, see the program, the blog post, the GMAT and MBA Admissions Fact and Fiction. It's actually not a blog post. It's an article on our site. And again, I'll link to it from the show notes. And I'll repeat the URL for the show notes at the end of the podcast, so don't worry about that. So two things you want to consider are your practice scores, your target GRE score in terms of what you need to be competitive at your target schools. Your tolerance is number three. Your tolerance for preparing again and retaking the exam. Some people have prepared once or twice. They've worked for weeks, studied for months, hours. They've refrained from all kinds of recreational activities. They might be coming up with a big project at work. Maybe you can't prepare again. That's also a factor, and that would frankly lower your cancel score. And the last thing that you're going to want to consider is what you feel is your ability to improve your studying. If you've been studying like crazy and doing everything you can possibly do, well, there's little that you can change or improve. You could obviously have a proverbial bad day, and that's why your practice scores are so important. On the other hand, if you did what I don't recommend and took it on a lark, or perhaps you did an online test prep and have concluded that you really could do better if you had a private tutor and you are willing to invest in a private tutor, then you have a tremendous ability to improve your study and your preparation. You have something that you can change. So these are four things that you should consider before test day in determining your cancel score. You want to consider your practice scores, your target scores given the schools you are applying to. If your average, the average GMAT at your target schools is a 680, and you're consistently scoring right around 680, frankly, you don't need 680 to be your target score, and your grades are good, and you have a good work experience, and you're competitive in other regards. You could maybe have a 660 be your target score. On the other hand, if you're from an overrepresented group that traditionally does very well on the GMAT and tends to score higher and above average on the GMAT score, on the GMAT, and perhaps your grades weren't that hot, well, then you want your GMAT score to be above average. Again, consider also your tolerance for preparing again and your ability to improve or change your approach to studying. Finally, as I pointed out earlier, if you cancel and regret, you have 60 days to reinstate for a fee of $100. If you accept and regret your decision, you can still retake the GMAT, which will cost you far more in money and time than $100. If you are unsure, cancel, but consider part of your GMAT prep to be knowing your overall quant, verbal, and IR cancel scores. I know I've repeated this. I'm going to repeat it one more time. Know your cancel scores before you walk in. The scores include the total, the verbal, the quant, and the IR. Final point, I still recommend against taking the GMAT on a lark to see how you do. If you want to see how you do, do so off the grid in a way that the schools won't see your initial testing the waters, not non-effort score. Schools do see on the GMAC score report that you canceled the score. I don't think they'll think too much about it if, you know, you have one canceled score on your report. But if they see a bunch of them, then it might start to raise some eyebrows. The second topic for today is the shrinking MBA essays and the declining number of MBA essay questions. And this is something that's been going on for a couple of years. And I think the corollary to that development is a changing role of the boxes and the increasing number of short answer questions that are not labeled essays, but are just increasing in importance. And this is relevant to all grad school applicants. Because for all of you, the essays, the statements of purpose, and the personal statements tend to get a lot of attention. You pore over those and check and recheck them. Sometimes you'll have others look at them. Sometimes even a top-notch accepted consultant will review them. And on some level, that makes sense. You invest more time to write a 500-word essay than to answer a question limited to 100 or 200 characters. However, on some applications, like HBS's MBA application, Stanford GSB's MBA application, or MCAS's experience descriptions, or the MCAS application specifically, those short answers, and on the MCAS it's the experience descriptions, in total can amount to almost as many words as the essay. So let me give you an example or two of what I mean. Let's take Stanford GSB's MBA application. In its employment section, for each job, it asks the following questions and allows 320 characters for each response. Your primary job responsibilities, your most significant challenge. The first one is your primary job responsibilities. The second is your most significant challenge. The third is your most significant accomplishment for each job. And following is the reason for leaving, 145 characters. So that's obviously shorter. Now, a general rule of thumb is that 5 characters on average is a word, unless you're particularly prone to multisyllabic long words. That means that the answers for each job total is 221 words. Similarly, in the activities and interests section on Stanford's app, you're allowed 255 characters to describe your role, impact, and contribution. That's another roughly 50 words per activity. And your most significant activity is allowed an additional 255 characters, or, again, approximately 50 words. There are also a few additional miscellaneous short answer questions. Bottom line, if you have 3 jobs and 3 activities or interests to discuss, and you could easily have more, you will write roughly 900 words. That's almost as much as the 1,100 words allowed for Stanford's 2 essays. Those short answers deserve the same care and attention as the essays, especially since the essays have shrank. Schools need to see your leadership, your achievements, your impact, your challenges overcome in the boxes. Another example, Harvard's MBA application. It now has no required essay questions and 1 optional essay question. And it doesn't specify a length, but don't be a fool. Harvard values brevity. For every job, it gives you 250 characters and asks for each of the following. Your company organization description, and gives you 250 for each of the following. Your company organization description. That's number 1. 2, your reason for leaving, another 250 characters. 3, key accomplishments. And 4, most significant challenge. That's 250 words per job. Not characters now, per job. For activities, it's asked for 200 character or 50 word, actually it's 40 word descriptions of your activities. For years, HBS asked, what are your 3 most significant achievements? It is now asking the same question, but in the context of your jobs and activities. And it's not asking you necessarily to rank those in order of significance. It's just asking for where you've had an impact in each instance. Furthermore, as is Stanford, it is getting most of its information and insight into you from the boxes, because people may be a little less calculating and guarded when just filling out a boring form than when composing an all-important essay. Now, for more information on how to complete Stanford's MBA application, I'll link to our webinars on that topic from the show notes. But, again, let's just focus for the moment on those boxes. You want to show impact. You want to show leadership. You want to show achievement. You want to discuss the challenges you've overcome. And the schools are giving you places to do that in the form and in the boxes. They require the same care and attention. And for the MCAS, I mentioned that. The personal statement is 5,300 characters. Each of the most meaningful experiences is 1,325 characters. And then there are the remainder of the experiences. Again, the total is less, but not that much less than that of the personal statement. My point is that the boxes and short answers should be treated with the same seriousness and purposefulness as the essay, resume, and every other document of your application. And I'm not arguing for less candor or transparency. I am urging you to treat those jobs and activity descriptions with the same thoughtfulness and reflection that you invest in the essays or essays. I am also urging you to ensure that they are as polished as any other element of your application. So, no typos, no spelling errors, thoughtful, polished responses in the boxes as well as in the essays. Listener, I want to thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts on these two topics. Again, to summarize and sum up. One, before you show up for that GMAT exam, understand GMAC score preview, and most importantly, know your personal CANSEL scores for the total, the quant, the verbal, and the IR. Two, this is the second topic for today, treat the short answers, the boxes, and the additional information sections of your application, it doesn't matter whether what school you're applying to or what program, with the same thoughtfulness, purposefulness, and care that you give your essays. Now, during the show, I mentioned a few additional resources. I mentioned the Harvard and Stanford webinars and the article on the GMAT and admissions, and I will link to them from info.accepted.com/70. As always, if you find the show valuable, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so will help us spread the word about Admission Straight Talk because iTunes will rank AST more prominently if it has more reviews, especially if it has 5-star feedback. So if you think this show deserves 5 stars, please let iTunes know. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave a review. And if you have a question for me, please ask it at info.accepted.com/70 or by sending an email to questions@accepted.com or, frankly, by leaving a comment in the show notes on the blog. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.